Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, hello to you, and thank you for joining us on this Tuesday edition of our program. Today is very, very special to us because it's the first anniversary of the half-hour version of this program. This is a very special program that tries to bring to a new generation the teaching of a man who is no longer with us but had a huge impact in his generation, and a man we honor, obviously, on this program. But we've done something very special in doing a half-hour show, a half-hour program based on his teaching, built around his teaching, and so we're celebrating a bit today. It's also very, very appropriate that we're listening to Derek teach us about pages from my life's book, the title of a book, of a series of teachings that he did telling his story. I love listening to this material because it's so pristine. It's so stripped away of the church, of small groups, of every kind of thing that most of us have the benefit of enjoying. Derek Prince became a believer and then got whisked away in World War II to the deserts of Northern Africa, and God taught him and discipled him. And it helps me because it shows me what it is that God does in our lives, but almost in a laboratory situation, a situation that doesn't have the context of the kind of churches and small groups we have today. It helps me see what God sees as important, what God wants to teach. And it helps me make sure that I have those things working in my life and that I haven't missed any lessons. So let's listen now as Derek teaches us about being discipled in the desert, and let's see what it is God did in his life that he wants to do in ours.
The title I've chosen for my talks this week is Discipled in the Desert. I'm sharing with you lessons that God taught me during the 3 years that I served as a hospital attendant with the British forces in North Africa during World War II, the years from 1941 to 1944. Yesterday I pointed out how God sometimes uses the desert to prepare his people for their future service. The desert strips away from us the non-essentials and brings us down to the basics of life. This is true both in the natural and in the spiritual realm. When God led Israel through the desert for 40 years, he provided them with two basic forms of nourishment, the manna that they gathered every morning and the water from the rock that they drank. In my experience, I saw that God had made a corresponding provision for me. My manna was the Bible as I read it each day. The water from the rock for me was the Holy Spirit within me. It was He within me, the Holy Spirit, who made the Bible a living, up-to-date, personal message for me. I discovered that the Holy Spirit, who is the author of the Bible, also is given to us by God to be its interpreter, to be our teacher, to lead us into all the truth. Today I'm going to share with you one particular way in which the Holy Spirit made certain truths of the Bible very real and personal to me. I need to give you a little picture of our way of life. We traveled almost incessantly. Desert warfare is extremely mobile. We traveled on a 3-ton truck, and I explained yesterday that on this truck there traveled 8 men called stretcher bearers. That was the official military title. 2 men who were responsible for driving and maintaining the truck, myself who was in charge of the total group. And I mentioned yesterday that the rest of our company dubbed us Prince's Pioneers. We had a little flag with that title on that we would put up every time we stopped for the night. When we stopped for the night, we usually slept out in the open desert. And I discovered that the desert, though it's usually hot in the daytime, very, very quickly becomes cold at night. Sand gathers heat very quickly, but also loses it very quickly. And so there was an art in learning where to sleep and how to keep warm. I usually used my boots as my pillow, and we would try to have one of the wheels of the truck to shelter us from whatever direction the wind was coming from. And then we were each allotted 4 blankets. It's almost comical when I look back how important those blankets were to us. Today we wouldn't think much about 4 coarse blankets. But I had one particular blanket which really was my most cherished material possession. I think it must have been a horse blanket originally, and it was at least twice as large as any normal blanket, but it only counted as one. So I had three blankets plus this great large horse blanket. And I learned to stretch them out on the sand and put some under me and some over me and sleep in such a way that I was almost shut off from the wind and the cold. And I had a kind of little nightly home there inside my four blankets. Well, I was just a new believer, and there were many things about the spiritual life I didn't understand, and I was continually questioning God. I wanted to know why we had to go on like this day after day, and what good was it doing, and why couldn't God get me out of the army, and he knew that I wanted to serve him, and really I had a lot of questions and a lot of complaints, and I was far from being restful at times. So one night I wrapped myself up in my blankets and lay down there in the sand. We usually went to sleep just about the time the sun set and got up when the sun rose because we had no artificial light. And as I lay there with these questions in my mind, arguing with God, why was he allowing all this to go on? And didn't he know how useful I could be to him if I could get out of the army? I found myself in a strange way, and I believe it must have been by the power of the Holy Spirit, pinned down on my back on the desert sand. And the blankets were wrapped about me in a strange way so that I couldn't move. And my arms were stretched out horizontally from my body. So I was lying there on my back with my arms stretched out horizontally, the palms upwards. And in some strange way, I couldn't get into another position. It was as though I was just pinned down by these blankets. And suddenly I realized that I was exactly in the position of a person being crucified on a cross. And next day, when I opened up the Bible, my eye fell on Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, where Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So in that very vivid way, without my really reasoning it out or working it out, the Holy Spirit showed me that in God's sight, I was crucified with Christ. I didn't have anything to argue about. I didn't have any case to plead. I was a crucified person. Christ's crucifixion had become my crucifixion. He had identified himself with me in his death for my sin on the cross. Now, in turn, I was to identify myself with him and to see myself as crucified with him. And a crucified man has nothing to argue about. He has no case to plead. He's just there. He takes his position, and he's held there because that's the position that has been ordained for him.
You know, I remember when I heard Derek tell me about this stage in his life, these years in the deserts of Northern Africa. And I remember asking him about how when I listened to him on tape, it sounded sort of calm and steady because Derek was a man who had a very calm nature. But in Northern Africa, I knew enough history to know that there were constant bombardments. There were constant German insurgents. There was constant violence. People were dying around him. And what an amazing time for him to be discipled when literally the lessons that he is learning and the way he hears the Holy Spirit are a matter of life and death. Well, you know what? They're a matter of life and death for us too. Thank God we have a chance to learn these lessons. More to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Across more than 50 years of ministry, Derek Prince experienced many extraordinary encounters with the presence and person of God. For those who have wished they could have spent some one-to-one time with the man and heard him share details of these encounters, we are pleased to make available The Next Best Thing, delivered in a heart-to-heart style. Derek's message, Truth, Faith, Love, My God-Given Goals, brings you his personal account of his encounters with Almighty God. In this special audio CD, you'll hear how Derek discovered the reality of God and experienced the tremendous power of his Holy Spirit. You'll enjoy wonderful stories of God's supernatural power working in his life and the lives of those around him. You'll be encouraged by the faithfulness of God and drawn to press more deeply into his presence, which is why we want you to have a copy of your own, absolutely free. To get your copy of this exceptional audio CD, Truth, Faith, Love, My God-Given Goals, free and postage paid, simply request it when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and this special CD are both free. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Very, very glad you're with us today on this Tuesday, not only because it's the first anniversary of the half-hour version of our program, but also because we're learning fascinating things from the life of Derek Prince. You know, often when I speak in churches and spend time with believers and I ask people how they're doing, they'll say, well, I'm going through a desert. Well, you know what? From what we're learning from Derek Prince, being in the desert is actually a good thing because it's where God teaches us. It's where God brings us to greater depth in him. So I'm almost hungering to be in the desert with Derek Prince as he teaches us about being discipled in the desert. Let's listen and let's apply what Derek is learning to our lives so that we can deepen with our Lord Jesus Christ.
The Holy Spirit showed me that in God's sight, I was crucified with Christ. I didn't have anything to argue about. I didn't have any case to plead. I was a crucified person. Christ's crucifixion had become my crucifixion. He had identified himself with me in his death for my sin on the cross. Now, in turn, I was to identify myself with him and to see myself as crucified with him. And a crucified man has nothing to argue about. He has no case to plead. He's just there. He takes his position and he's held there because that's the position that has been ordained for him. And so I learned in that very vivid kind of demonstration by the power of the Holy Spirit working through those blankets that pinned me down on my back there in the desert sand, that I was to say, I have been crucified with Christ. That's my position. That's my condition. Now, I don't live. I have no arguments. I have no pleas. I have no claims. I have no rights. Those have been stripped from me by crucifixion. I'm to see myself as a crucified person. That's how God sees me. That's how I'm to see myself. Another night, a little later, I had a somewhat similar experience. I was wrapped there in my blankets again, my head up against the wheel of the truck, huddling together so as to keep out the biting cold wind that was blowing across the face of the desert. And again, I found myself pinned, but I was in a different position. This time, I was still on my back, but my hands were pinned right down by my side. And struggle as I would, I couldn't get free. There was some mysterious power operating through those blankets that was binding me in that position. And as I ceased struggling and just lay there, I realized I was in the position of a man being carried out for burial. That is exactly the position in which burial took place in the customs of the Bible. So I realized not only was I crucified with Christ, but I was also buried with Christ. While a person is crucified, they're still visible. They still show. But when a person is buried, they've been put out of sight. They're no longer visible. There's no longer any evidence of their life. And I saw again, as I turned to the New Testament and read its pages, that that's how God saw me. I'll give you just one scripture out of several that speak about the fact that we are buried with Christ. Colossians 2:12 says this, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. So I saw that I was buried with Christ, and that only through burial could I enter into the resurrection life that God had for me. I had to be first crucified, then buried, and then I could be resurrected. But I noticed there that it said buried with him in baptism, and somehow that lodged in my mind and started a train of thought. Nearly a year later, after I'd been in the desert for almost a year and had not once seen a paved road in 9 or 10 months, the army gave me a brief leave and permitted me to go to Jerusalem. So in 1942, I went to Jerusalem for the first time. Going to Jerusalem from the desert sand was really like going to heaven from hell. The first time I saw Jerusalem, I fell in love with her. And I have to testify now that I've been in love with her ever since. But while I was in Jerusalem, I was introduced to a Christian minister who explained to me the spiritual and the scriptural basis of water baptism. And God gave me the wonderful privilege of going down one day in August 1942 to the River Jordan just by the Allenby Bridge. And there, on the basis of my faith in Jesus as my Savior, I was immersed in the waters of the Jordan, baptized. Probably not more than a quarter of a mile from the place where Jesus himself had been baptized by John the Baptist. And so I was actually buried with Christ by baptism. And I discovered that that produced some important changes in me. I had had a wonderful deliverance from my old way of life. I was indeed like a dead man, but many of the old pictures and scenes and incidents remained in my mind and came up to trouble me. After I'd been baptized there in the River Jordan, I realized that those pictures and scenes and memories from the past had been erased. They were no longer there. They no longer troubled me and accused me and tormented me. And so I saw that it's important not merely to be dead, but to be buried. It's not enough that we have a dead body, but that body, to be dealt with in a proper way, must be baptized, must be immersed, must be buried. And that lesson God taught me there, in the wilderness, in the desert, and then in the River Jordan.
You know, there is a key to the life of Derek Prince that I see in this last little portion of teaching. And it is that when he was in that desert of Northern Africa, he actually reckoned himself as dead in Christ. And so I really want to urge you to consider those words and to reckon yourselves as dead in Christ, as the Bible tells us to do. Really see ourselves as having been put to death in our new Christian experience. It'll change you. It'll cause you to live a humbler life, and it will cause you to live a life that glorifies Jesus. More to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
He was a remarkable man, and his life was an extraordinary journey of adventure, discovery, and redemption. Now, Stephen Mansfield, author of the New York Times bestseller, The Faith of George W. Bush, has captured that journey in Derek Prince, a biography, a frank, transparent, and fascinating account of one of the 20th century's great spiritual leaders, from England's most prestigious universities to the battlefields of World War II, to the drama surrounding the birth of the nation of Israel. This new biography makes you an eyewitness to history while it brings you life-transforming spiritual insights. Derek Prince, a biography, is yours for only $19.95. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. Shipping is free. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Like Derek Prince, you too can triumph over tragedy with the power of the Holy Spirit. Call 800-448-3261 or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thanks for being with us here. I hope you've been listening all day, and of course yesterday as well, as we've been listening to Derek Prince teach us about how he was discipled in the desert. And I want to talk to you just a little bit about some of the principles that Derek has been talking to us about. You know, I had the privilege of pastoring for 21 years before I became the author and political guy and media guy that I am now. And I have to tell you that there was a fundamental truth that I saw in my own life and the lives of others, that had we mastered it earlier in our lives, it would have made all the difference in the world. And it's what Derek is talking about now. Derek, in the first months of his Christian life, in the first years of his Christian life, certainly, really had the Holy Spirit applied to his life the message of him being crucified with Christ, of him being dead in Christ. And this truth that we've just heard illustrated as Derek talks about being pinned on the floor of the desert and God really bringing to reality in his life that he is crucified with Christ, that truth missed by Christians causes more trouble to their lives, more division in the body of Christ, more hassles for the people of God than any other single thing. Because what happens is that we come to Jesus, and if we tend to see Jesus as simply a means for us getting other things that we want, a means of acquiring what we desire, and we haven't first been crucified in Christ, we haven't first reckoned ourselves as dead, if we haven't begun to see ourselves as servants of the living God, dead to ourselves and alive to Christ, then we're going to live with raging passions and a sense of entitlement that's going to bring a loss of peace, going to bring a disconnect with God, and certainly going to bring tensions with other people. This lack of a sense of being crucified in Christ, of having been dead, of not being entitled. Now, I realize that particularly in the West today, we tend to emphasize a theology of entitlement to a certain extent, and that's appropriate. God certainly has made promises to us, and he's called us sons, and he's called us friends, and he certainly has promised us things. That's without question. But if we take hold of that, not in an attitude of humble faith and simplicity, but rather in a sense of entitlement, then we're not dead in Christ as we ought to be. And we're going to, as the Bible says, simply try to acquire things to spend them on our lusts. So I want to urge you to really examine in your life this fundamental truth, this thing that should have been laid in at the foundation of your Christian life and my Christian life from the very beginning, that we are dead in Christ. Have you come to that point where you literally are pinned on the floor of the desert, so to speak, and you reckon yourself as dead in Christ? Otherwise, as a preacher once said, we're going to be living beings rattling inside of a coffin. In other words, kicking and screaming and trying to get out of the confines of our lives that God might put upon us. There's a second truth that I want to talk to you about, and that has to do with feeding in the desert. Derek has been teaching us a great deal about how to feed ourselves and nourish ourselves in the desert. I've spent a lot of time in the desert because of the work that I've done in the Middle East. And I remember an old Arab man standing with me at the edge of the Syrian desert, looking out on it. And we were talking about it. And I said, well, I have to tell you honestly, I prefer the ocean. I prefer the sea. I'm a Navy guy. I told him about Annapolis, Maryland, where I sometimes teach at the Naval Academy, and how much I love the sea. And he put a bony, long, aged finger in my face. And he said, you know, there is as much nourishment in the desert as there is in the seas of the world, as long as you know where to find it. And that really is the lesson that Derek is teaching us. Here he was during wartime in northern Africa in a place of barrenness, and yet it became a spiritual feast for him because he knew where to find it. Now, of course, this Arab man meant it in a natural sense, that if you know what plants to eat and where to dig, there's plenty of sustenance. But that's very much the truth with the Christian life as well. If you know where the plants are, if you know what the signs are, if you know how to sustain yourself in the desert, it is rich with resources to those who know it, to those who are learned, to those who are not novices. And that's what God is trying to teach us. He's trying, really, in essence, to use the phrase that I've used before, he's trying to reduce us to the Word. He's trying to bring us to the point where we're not sustained by anything from alcohol to our own principles of living to the wisdom that pours out of Nike commercials, if you understand what I'm saying. He wants us to be sustained by the Word of God alone. That's why we're called to read it, to memorize it, to speak it, to quote it, to encourage each other with it. We must be reduced to the Word of God. And I urge you to take yourself there. You know, there's a principle in the Bible, and that is, if we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. If we choose to live in simplicity, we'll not be forced into simplicity. I was discussing with a friend this morning the fact that God says in the Old Testament that there should be a Sabbath in our lives. And then one time in Leviticus, when he's telling them what bad things will befall the people of God if they disobey God, he says, well, you can either have a Sabbath voluntarily, but if you don't, I will judge the land, make it barren, and I will give it the Sabbaths that you were supposed to give it in obedience to me. There's a principle that we can do the things we're supposed to do on our own, or we'll be forced into it. So rather than your circumstances and the sufferings of your life forcing you into a simplicity in the Word, I urge you to mimic, so to speak, Derek's desert experience and find a life in the Word that sustains you in a way that nothing else does. Now, we've got a special resource for you that will help you to do exactly the things that I'm talking about today. It's called Truth, Faith, and Love, My God-Given Goals. It's a CD by Derek Prince, and he's going to teach these very truths that we've been talking about how the Christian life is like a building and how we can lay in the right kind of structure. And you can get this by logging onto the website at derekprince.org and simply requesting it. Again, Truth, Faith, and Love, My God-Given Goals. A CD is a special gift for you. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
To get your copy of Derek's CD, Truth, Faith, Love, My God-Given Goals, free of charge, call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Call now and be sure to request your free CD, Truth, Faith, Love, My God-Given Goals. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or request your free copy securely online at derekprince.org, where you'll find other helpful resources, including Derek's biography, for just $19.95.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at derekprince.org.